from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the Giants' 5-4 win over the Pirates, Johnny Cueto returning to the Giants after more than 13 months away. Giants took a 5-0 lead early in this game. Bullpen was a little shaky towards the end as well, but this time they were able to hold on. We also have some bigger picture stuff to talk about with the Giants firing 8 of their pro scouts yesterday. And I want to tie this into what to expect after the season ends or even before with changes to the structure of the organization, because I think a lot of change is still going to happen here. But before we get into any of that, the Giants' record improved to 70 wins and 75 losses. Dodgers clinched the National League West last night, so we'll no longer be talking about the division. Of course, though, the Giants were eliminated about a week ago. But the Cubs did lose to the Padres, so the Giants gained a game in the wild card standings, where they are still technically alive at 7.5 games back, with 17 games remaining for the Giants. So before we talk about the firings in the pro scouting department and how I think it might just be the beginning of what could be a massive overhaul of the Giants' entire organization, we should talk about this brilliant start by Johnny Cueto. So to get him onto the 40-man roster, the Giants DFA'd Williams Jerez, whom they acquired in the Chris Stratton trade early on in 2019. Jerez pitched a little bit with the Giants this season and never really had all that much success. And the Giants also recently acquired Wandy Peralta. They have several lefties on their active bullpen right now who apparently had passed Jerez on the depth chart, so Jerez became expendable. In the bottom of the first, Mauricio Dubon was leading off, and he led off with a single to right field. And then Brandon Belt nearly homered, hit a ball off the wall that put runners on second and third with no outs, and Longoria struck out. Thankfully, though, Stephen Vogt was in there batting fourth, and he came up with a two-run single that made it 2-0 Giants. Vogt also hit a two-run homer in the fifth inning. So that was pretty much all the offense for the Giants. Kevin Pillar had two hits. Brandon Crawford drove in a run with a single in the first inning as well. But the real story here was Johnny Cueto making his return to the mound for the Giants. And right from the first inning, he looked sharp. He threw just 11 pitches in that first inning, retiring the side in order. He topped out at over 93.5 miles per hour in the game, so his stuff looked pretty good. And I mean, the off-speed pitches were working well. He threw a good changeup in this game. Good cutter. Fastball had movement and was consistently hitting 91, 92. And towards the end of last season, right before he went down with Tommy John, his velocity was dipping all the way into the mid to high 80s. So, of course, you expect the velocity to come back after the Tommy John, and apparently it has, and it's great to see that from Cueto. Giants really have struggled in the starting pitching department this season, so Cueto coming back and pitching as well as he did yesterday is definitely a positive sign for the Giants, who even with a healthy Cueto are still going to need a lot of help in their starting rotation in 2020. Thankfully, there are a lot of free agent starting pitchers available in the offseason, including Garrett Cole, potentially Steven Strasburg if he opts out of his contract, which I think that he will. Madison Bumgarner is, of course, going to be a free agent. Former Giant Zach Wheeler, Dallas Keuchel, Hyunjin Ryu, and others as well. But a healthy Cueto would go a long way towards helping the Giants in that regard. They have really struggled in the rotation this season. And when he's at his best, he's one of the better pitchers in MLB. But of course, it often takes a while for pitchers to fully recover their command and consistency coming back from Tommy John. So in that respect, it's good to see him come back in September as opposed to just waiting until 2020. I have seen a lot of people talk about why are they bringing him back? Why not just let him rest? Well, if he's healthy and he's ready to pitch, he's ready to pitch. I don't understand why you wouldn't want him to pitch. He wants to play, and he's healthy and he's ready to go. And so it's, you know, he's proving to himself and to the Giants that he's back and he can go into 2020 having a relatively normal offseason. I think that that's hugely important for his psychology. Otherwise, you go into 2020 not really knowing what you're going to be able to bring to the table. So these are important starts for him personally, regardless of how it ends up for the Giants. And yesterday was a huge step forward, of course, coming back and pitching so well. Things got a little bit dicey, of course, with the bullpen again. Kyle Bearclaw came in after Cueto completed 5 innings and walked off to a standing ovation, striking out the last batter he faced. He had 4 strikeouts in 5 innings. So in comes Bearclaw in the 6th and immediately gives up a single and a walk. In comes Andy Suarez and he gives up a single, so suddenly the bases are loaded with no outs. But then Suarez gets Colin Moran to pop out to shortstop and Josh Bell to ground into a double play. So that was a real threat there, but Suarez was able to escape the inning. In the 7th inning, Suarez went back out there and had a clean inning, but then in the 8th, Sam Coonrod came in, got 2 quick outs, but then allowed 2 straight singles, and then in came the new Giants lefty Wandy Peralta, and he allowed a 2-run double to Melky Cabrera and then a 2-run homer to Josh Bell. So suddenly the Giants 5-0 lead was 5-4. Sean Anderson then came in to record the last out of the 8th, and he went back out there in the 9th. Wasn't the cleanest inning in the world. He walked Jacob Stallings with 1 out, but then he got Kevin Kramer and Pablo Reyes to strike out. So a 4-out save for Sean Anderson, and I've really liked how the stuff has played up in the bullpen for him. He was a closer in college, so he's had experience in that role before. I'm not ready to anoint him the closer of the future based on one game here, but the stuff definitely has played up. If he can just attack the strike zone, he was missing a lot below the strike zone last night. Only walked 1, but was falling behind and throwing some non-competitive low fastballs. But, you know, consistently hitting 95-96 and just attacking the zone for the most part. And I think this stuff plays up. And so I think he might be a better fit long-term as a relief pitcher. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him get some relatively high leverage innings down the stretch here for the rest of the season. So the concern obviously is that Will Smith seems to be clearly not available with that back tightness. So they really shouldn't push it. He's an impending free agent. They don't want to mess with that, get him injured right before he reaches free agency. But hopefully he'll be back soon because the Giants bullpen is a little bit falling apart without him at the back end. Of course, they don't have Tony Watson either with that fractured wrist. So this bullpen is pretty much completely different than it was on opening day because of trades and injuries. And they're going to have to make it work with what they have, and then it'll be interesting to see what transpires over the offseason because, as constructed, I'm not so confident in their current group. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the Giants firing 8 of their 20 pro scouts, and I think how this is just the tip of the iceberg and what it could mean for the organization in the coming weeks and months. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the Giants letting go 8 of their 20 pro scouts and why I think this is just a sign of things to come for the organization in the coming weeks and months. So the Giants let go of 8 pro scouts, but they did hold on to 12. So it wasn't like they just fired everybody in the department. Farhan Zaidi also said that the Giants are planning to interview a select few candidates to fill some vacancies in pro scouting. But I was just thinking about this. I'm not actually sure if I said this on a recent podcast or not, but Farhan Zaidi was hired last November, shortly after the conclusion of the World Series. And it wasn't like he was going to come in here and just fire everybody upon arriving with the organization. So now we're almost a full year into his time with the Giants. He's had an entire season to evaluate up and down the front office. And I do just wonder just how sweeping the changes might be once the season concludes. And this is around the time that Bobby Evans was fired last season. So to do it, you know, just before the season ends seems to be kind of the protocol. Dave Dombrowski, the Boston Red Sox president of baseball operations, was just let go by the Red Sox, even though they won the World Series last year. It seems to be pretty much an industry standard if you're going to move on from high-ranking people that is done around this time of year. I'm not saying I expect that or know that that's going to happen or hope that that happens, but we have seen it happen in recent years. And I do wonder just how far down the ladder this thing is going to go. I think the Giants letting go of some pro scouts is just the tip of the iceberg of what could happen here. And it, to an extent, is understandable. I mean, Farhan Zaidi inherited a lot of people who, you know, were set up in the old regime's image of how the front office should be set up. And so he probably has a slightly different picture or a dramatically different picture of who he wants to surround himself with and what they're going to be able to bring to the table. So I just think that it's possible that we could see dramatic changes. I mean, we know we're going to get a new manager, and then you start to wonder about the coaching staff. I mean, a new manager usually has the right to pick out and hand select a coaching staff. So you wonder about the fate of all those guys in the dugout, a lot of whom have been there a long time. And then also high-ranking people in the front office that Zaidi inherited. According to Andy Baggerly in a tweet, he says, changes to administration and amateur scouting are expected as well. And of course, the Major League coaching staff is all reaching the end of their contracts. Zaidi said he plans to interview GM candidates, but would only make a hire if he finds the right person and right fit. There's also just some good lines here in this NBC Sports Bay Area article about the firing of the pro scouts by Alex Pavlovich. And here's a quote from Zaidi about them saying, it's a good group of people that have made contributions to this organization over, in some cases, long periods of time and been a part of some big moments in Giants history on the field. It's obviously sad in that respect, but obviously we're really appreciative of their contributions over that time and we wish those guys the best. But with that said, Pavlovich adds that the Giants have already beefed up their video and analytics staff, and much of the traditional advanced scouting work can now be done by watching clips rather than having a scout in stadium. They now have two members of the front office traveling with the team and giving data to coaches and players before every game. Zaidi said that it's becoming more and more important to dedicate scouting resources to the low levels of the minor leagues, all the way down to the Dominican Summer League and Rookie Ball. So anyway, I just feel like this is a little bit of a story that hasn't been talked about too much, but it's something to absolutely look out for, changes that could sweep across the organization. I mean, in a month or two, the Giants could have a new manager, a new GM, a new coaching staff. Like, just get ready for a lot of changes because Farhan Zaidi is now in charge, and this year was kind of a transition period, but starting in 2020, it's not going to be a transition period anymore, and it's going to be full steam ahead in his vision. And I think we've already seen, and Giants fans have already seen, the fruits of his labor. They've had a very successful season in that regard, turning out several interesting players who could be pieces in the future. They've improved their depth in the minor leagues. They've had some really strong development by several minor leaguers in their system. And I think Farhan Zaidi has just proved that he's more than capable of doing this job. And with more and more time and with more and more people in place to act in his vision, they're going to continue to get better and better. So it's something we'll be following very closely in the off season on this show. And it's, you know, it's always hard to hear of people being let go, but it's also exciting to see what the future is going to hold. So anyway, with all of that said, coming up tonight, the Giants will take on the Pirates in game 3 of this 4-game series. It'll be Logan Webb on the mound against Dario Agrizal, a right-handed pitcher for the Pirates. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. To get the show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.